Well, it's nice to be back with you again. It seems like it's been several months since Laura and I were last here. Since the last time we were here, I was in Thailand back in the end of the month of July, and visiting in Bangkok and other places, ministering to people with OMF, the Mission Organization Overseas Missionary Fellowship, in Intervarsity, and on and on. The Thai people actually translated my first book into the Thai language. It was published, and so it was an opportunity to meet different groups of people. And then in October, I was in Cuba for 10 days. Been my fourth trip to Cuba since over the span of 25 years. And it's very encouraging to see how the churches are growing in Cuba. 25 years ago, I visited large Protestant churches in Havana and other areas. And since that time, many host churches have been springing up all throughout the country. And so I was with a team of six people, and we went to the city of Baracoa, which is the far end of the country, and the host church movement is spreading. And so we were ministering to some of the host churches in the city of Baracoa, about four or five different churches there. So it's encouraging what God's doing in Cuba. And the believers are strong. They are people are joyful. They really suffer a lot, not by persecution by the government, but suffer by a lack of goods. And so all of us on the six of team would bring supplies, medical supplies, clothing, dental supplies, educational supplies, because they just are really hard done by with a lack of goods in their country. And so it was an opportunity to care for their physical needs as well as minister to their spiritual needs. But the people in Cuba are wonderful believers there. And they have a joy and a hunger to study God's word. So it was great to be with them. And Laura and I were over in Europe in August, September. And at the end of our trip, we spent 4 days in London. I got to see Charles Spurgeon's College. Spurgeon's College and where he was buried, and a number of things related to Charles Spurgeon. So that was wonderful there. So it's good to be back with you. And today we're going to talk about the spiritual discipline of remembering, as it's read from Psalm 105. Let's pray and ask the Lord to be with us. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak into our hearts and to our minds, that you would draw us closer to you through this time in your word, and that my words would honor you and glorify you, and that you would give us receptiveness to what you have to say to us this morning. And may your word continue to abide in our hearts and our minds throughout this day and the days to come. We pray in your name. Amen. So when you look back at your life, what do you remember? You can remember a lot of things, of course. The longer you live, the more you have to remember. Some people, when they look back at their life, they're filled with lots of nostalgia. They look back in the past years and think of the good old days. And those days may have been great, but probably not as great as we sometimes make them out to be. Sometimes the past is romanticized, and they're not as great as we may think they are. And when we do that, though, sometimes we end up complaining a lot about what's going on today because we see the past in ideal terms, and thus we're a little more resentful, not liking the present as much. But for others, when they look back at their lives, they only see pain and very difficult days. And perhaps you have found yourself there, too, that when you look back at your life, there's a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow. And then people who are like that often can live with resentment and bitterness because of what has happened in their lives. On the other end of the pendulum of remembering and thinking about the past, forgetting can be bad news too, right? Like forgetting a birthday or a spouse's anniversary of a loved one. Well, that's bad news. If you forget, you're in trouble if you forget. You don't want to forget some things, right? But we can sometimes, we can understand why this happens, right? People are busy. in their lives, and things go by. Oh, I forgot it's your birthday. I forgot all about it, right? Because life is busy sometimes like that. But then there are other times where people intentionally forget. Again, because of the past. There's been pain, difficult times, and they say, I just don't even want to think about the past any longer. They kind of blot out their memories. They don't want to even think about that. And they just put that past to the past. So they forget deliberately and intentionally about that. But here's a spiritual truth about remembering and forgetting. How we view the past will shape our life for the present. What we remember in the past influences us in our present life. So it's very important about how do we think of the past, because it does influence our present life. And what we remember in the past and influences our lives. So we have to ask ourselves, as a follower of Jesus Christ, how do I view all my lives leading up to the present today? As a follower of Christ, how do I view all my years leading up to the present time? As followers of Jesus Christ, God wants us to look at the past quite differently than how other people might look at the past. And He wants our minds to be filled with the memories of what God has done for us in the past. And we see this in Psalm 105, verse 5, which we read. He remembers, verse 5, remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He has uttered. In other words, as Christians, our memory bank should be filled with remembrances of what God has done for us. We talk about the disciplines of the Christian life. Bible reading every day, prayer, fellowship with other people. Let me suggest to you the spiritual discipline of remembering. Remember. Remember. God calls us over and over throughout the scripture. Remember. Remember. And so this verse is telling us here that we need to cultivate the discipline of remembering. So I want us to look at three aspects of remembering. The call to remember, if we'll see the first slide there, the call to remember. Then we're going to talk about the content of what we are to remember. And finally, the caution about remembering. So the call to remember in verse 5, which we read already. So the psalmist is telling us to remember. It's not an option. You're to remember. He's exhorting them to remember. Now notice the context of this verse and Psalm 105. It starts off with praise. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. So the previous verses are filled with praise and thanksgiving. When we remember certain things, our lives can be filled with rejoicing rather than complaining and being filled with bitterness. Now, this psalm is not the only psalm or the only place in Scripture that tells us to remember. We're told to remember certain things. For example, we discover that remembering is an important part of the Christian life. Jesus tells His disciples, remember the words I spoke to you in John 15. Remember the words I spoke to you. Don't forget what I taught you, Jesus is saying to them. At Paul's last visit with the elders in Ephesus, he told them, remember, for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you day and night with tears. They had to remember what the apostle Paul had been teaching them. Don't forget. It's important, Paul's saying. Remember those things. The Corinthian believers were exhorted by Paul to remember the principle of sowing and reaping. Remember this, he says. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Don't forget that principle. That's an important principle, he's saying. Remember that. The apostle Peter also believed it's important to remember certain things. He told the believers, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live. And then he goes on to say that he would make every effort that they would always be able to remember his teaching. Remember. Remember. You know, sometimes we don't always need to learn new truths. We need to remember a lot of old truths we know already. And we don't always, sometimes we're pursuing new truth. And that's okay to learn new insights of God's Word. But But sometimes we just need to be reminded of those things we know already. And that's what the apostles are doing here on these exhortations. Remember, remember what you already know. Now, we're not only to remember biblical teaching, but the scripture also calls us to remember our own spiritual journey. Paul tells the Ephesian believers to remember the time when they were outside of God's family in Ephesians 2. Remember where you were before you were spiritually dead. And remember when you came to Christ, he's telling us in Ephesians chapter 2. Remember, you were spiritually dead. And then you came to Christ. Wow, that was a whole new birth. You were welcomed into the family of God. Remember that time in your life. What a profound time that was. He says, remember that. Don't take your spiritual life for granted, he's telling them. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul's reminding Timothy about the gift of God which had been given to him when Paul laid his hands on him. And Paul's saying, remember, Timothy, that day when I laid my hands on you and you received the gift of God to minister to people. Remember that day. Don't forget it, Timothy. You're timid. You're a little intimidated. Don't forget that day when I laid hands on you and the power of God came on your life and God gifted you. Don't remember that. Don't forget that, Timothy. The scripture also calls us to remember people who have sacrificed and ministered to us. To the Thessalonians, Paul writes, surely you remember our toil and hardship. We work day and night for the people. Remember, Thessalonians, how we worked for you, how we came to serve you. Don't forget that, our love for you. Our hearts are often filled with gratitude as we think of pastors and other Christian leaders who have served us. And so the writer to the Hebrews expresses the same thought. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Remember them. Past pastors in your church, people who've had a great impact in your life, don't forget them. Remember the influence they had on your life, the impact they had on you. Why? The writer of Hebrews tells us, consider the outcome of the way of life and imitate them. So we remember, not just say, oh, they're wonderful. There's been no one else like them. No. The writer of Hebrews is saying, you remember them so that you can imitate their lives, their godly lives. Remember them for that point. So Scripture is calling us to remember. In the Psalms and throughout the New Testament, remember. Remember a certain biblical truth. Remember your own spiritual journey, where you came from. Remember the lives of other people who have influenced your life like that. Why are we to remember? Charles Spurgeon declared, if we would keep these events and these people in remembrance, our faith would be stronger. Our gratitude would be warmer. Our devotion would be more fervent. And our love would be more intense. Remembering has a powerful role in our lives and our spiritual well-being. So, let's think about this, how this applies to our life. We don't need to live in the past, but neither do we want to forget the past either. Yet today there's such an emphasis being talked about, live in the moment, and we have to learn to live in the moment. Or we spend so much time thinking about the future. We want to do this. We need to do this. But Scripture is also calling us to reflect on the past. Don't forget about the past. And to use it as a means of spiritual nourishment for our own lives. The discipline of remembering. So we need to reflect. Reflect on sermons you've heard here in the church. Sermons you hear on podcasts. Reflect on them. Don't just take in more and more all the time, but take time to reflect. Laura and I were part of a community group where we would take that time to meet for a meal and then in a small group talk about the sermon, to reflect further on it, to remember it, to apply it to our lives like that. So that's an important aspect. Learning to reflect on the sermons we've heard, biblical teaching we've received during the week through podcasts or sermons in church. Secondly, take the time in your own life to reflect on your spiritual journey. Think of that day you came to know Christ. What a glorious day that was, wasn't it? The day your life came and you accepted Christ in your life and he came into your life. I remember that time at age 10. Oh, the next day my parents came and picked me up at this camp where I had received Christ, and I told them about the day. Oh, that was a joyful day. At age 10, I remember that day with fondness, so clearly in my mind. So many years ago, but still fresh. It's good to remember those days. And the things that took place in my life. At age 15, when I sensed God's calling on my life to go into the ministry. Going off to college and remembering those things, those pivotal times in one's life that have shaped who I am today. Those pivotal times in your life that have shaped you to be the man and woman you are today. Remember those. Don't forget about them. They're important in making you the person you are today as a follower of Jesus Christ. Take the time to remember those who have influenced and shaped your life, just like Paul was saying, Timothy, remember me, what I've done in your life. The writer of the Hebrews, remember those godly leaders. You and I are to do the same. Take time to remember those who have influenced and shaped your life. What did they teach you about the Christian life? What are some of the values they taught you? Some of those lessons in life that really shaped your life? What are some of the values that they imparted in your life? I think of my four grandparents, my maternal and my paternal grandparents. What a profound influence they had on my life. As I would sit at the kitchen table, at the dining room table with my family, my parents, my sister, my parents, my grandparents, and listen to the stories my grandfather and grandmother would tell. I remember those stories so powerfully, even at from the age of 10 and older. I remember those stories. They're powerful stories. And years later, my grandmother would write letters. And I wish I had brought all the letters here. I could read them to you. Telling me of God has been faithful to us through the Depression. God has been faithful to us even though I lost a son. Even though your grandfather went to World War II to serve as a chaplain. God was faithful to us. Wow, you don't forget those things. You don't forget those things. Remember the people who've had an influence in your life. And the ways they've done that. They become a model for how we can shape other people's lives. So this is what the call to remembering is all about. Remembering biblical truth. Remembering your own spiritual journey, where God has called you from. Remembering the people that have shaped your life. And say, thank you, Lord. I want to remember those things. I don't want to ever forget those things. Those are important in my own growth as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, there's the call to remember, but what are we to remember specifically? The content to remember. And the psalmist tells his readers what they must remember. God has done and has said great things in the past. He tells us in verse 6 that as descendants, verse 6, O offspring of Abraham, his servant. Well, you know what? He's talking about the physical descendants of Abraham. But we today are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. We are of the same faith of Abraham. And so he's telling the offspring of Abraham to remember what was done way in the past here. And so they are called on to remember God's incredible acts of deliverance of his people from Egypt. And as you go through this psalm, you hear, and throughout the Old Testament, you hear the stories of, remember God's deliverance from Egypt, how God delivered you and redeemed you and spared you and brought you into the land, eventually brought you into the land of the promised land. And God showed his powerful, miraculous power by providing everything they needed in the desert. And so they are to remember what God has said about these great events and take them to heart. So the psalmist was not alone in calling God's people to remember what God has done in the past. Deuteronomy is a book calling God's people to remember. You go through Deuteronomy, and it's time after time, remember, remember, remember. So why is it that Deuteronomy so often says remember? It's not just say, oh yeah, that was nice. Remember, it's not that. It's more than that. Remembering is more than a mental act of recalling the past events. The people were called upon to remember so that they could apply those situations to the present time. So it's not just reminiscing and say, oh, the good old days. No, the remembering was for a purpose. And the purpose was that they would apply it to their lives. Those lessons of the past have application for you today. And so as they would do that, they would gain new confidence, a new hope, a new courage to live for the future, the present and the future. So let's take some examples of this from Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 4, they were to remember how God revealed himself by speaking to his people on Mount Sinai. And so Deuteronomy said, remember when God came to Sinai and he revealed himself in power and thunder and fire. Remember that time. Remember that time. God spoke to them out of fire. They heard his voice. What was the purpose of remembering? To revere God, to fear God more, to have a higher respect for this God who would reveal himself to us. Okay? That God would reveal himself and teach his people his word. What a holy time that was. Remember that time on Mount Sinai? The holy God, the awesome God who would reveal himself to us. Don't forget that time. Don't treat God in a triteful way and trivial way. Don't minimize God. Have a reverence for God. And secondly, they were to remember that they were slaves in Egypt, but God delivered them by his own power. And this is in Deuteronomy 5 and chapter 16. And so don't forget that time. You were slaves. You were being brutalized by the Egyptians, but God intervened. He spared you and he brought you out. Don't forget that time of great deliverance. And in Deuteronomy, they were also to remember how God led them during their many years in the wilderness. Deuteronomy points out time after time. Their shoes lasted for years. Their clothes lasted. God allowed them to persevere. And he preserved what they had in the desert. He kept them in those times of the desert, those years in the desert. God was faithful to them. He was teaching them that they had to rely on him. They did not have to be self-sufficient. They could depend on God to care for them in the desert. So in each one of these cases, the people in the psalmist's day were to remember God's faithfulness in the past because God wanted them to live with greater confidence and assurance. So look in the past. See how God delivered you from Egypt. See how God preserved you in the wilderness. See how God, remember those times when God revealed himself on the mountain. Wow, don't forget those times. Those are important times. And so it's important for us to remember what God's done in the past for us as well, right? We are not just spectators listening in on what the psalmist tells us. Say, oh yeah, that happened thousands of years ago. No, we are now participants in the story. Therefore, we should remember all that God has done for us and how he's delivered us and how he has preserved us and kept us faithful and all that he's done for us over the years. My, praise the Lord for that. And so, for each one of us who know the Lord, we remember our conversion when he delivered us from the power of sin, delivered us from slavery, and brought us and delivered us into freedom in the new land, a land with Jesus Christ. We remember that time. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? And then we live with hope and confidence that God is with us, that he is sustaining us in those difficult times. Whatever it is, God is the one who sustains us, encourages us in those difficult times. He is walking with us. And there's times when we feel like we're walking through a desert time, where it's dry and barren in our lives, but he is with us, sustaining us. He does not abandon us. And this is important then. So we remember. Remember what God has done. Why? To nourish our souls, to strengthen us, to give us hope, to give us new confidence. When we're down, we go back and say, God was faithful in the past. He will be faithful to us in the present and in the future too. This nourishes our souls. This strengthens us to give us hope and strength like that. And so we should intentionally remember all that God has done for us in the past in order to cultivate our own spiritual growth. But there's another reason. It's a negative one.
why we should be very intentional about remembering all that God has done for us. But before I do that, let me mention, I want to say, let's apply this in a practical way. How do we remember how God has delivered us from sin? What's the practical way to do that as a church? Through the Lord's Supper, right? It's through the Lord's Supper. That's when we remember how God delivered us from sin, how God brought us into a newness of life, into a new land, so to speak, into a new relationship with Christ. And, you know, my experience has been, as a pastor and others and other times throughout my life, is so often when it comes to the Lord's Supper, we can approach a special time in a very rushed manner. You know, it's the end of service, so we've got to have communion and we rush through it quickly, right? But when we do it quickly, we don't really take the time to reflect on what Christ has done for us or the way it's done. Been an elder at churches, we have these discussions. How should we do it in such a way? Some ways it's done in such a way that it's distracting. But the Lord's Supper is a time to really remember. And not just think back, oh yes, he died for me 2,000 years ago. No. But in the context of remembering, it's to strengthen us. It's to nourish our souls. It's a means for grace in our lives like that. And so when we eat the bread and the drink from the cup, we remember the death on the cross because we follow the Apostle Paul who quotes Jesus. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me. But the case is not just to remember again. The case is to strengthen our souls, to strengthen our walk and say, thank you, Lord. And as you were faithful back then, you're continuing to be faithful to me now. Do you see why this remembrance is so important in the context of the Old Testament and the New Testament? Remember, to give us hope and encouragement where we are. And so we recall his great love for us and all that he's done for us, delivering us from sin, liberating us to live for him. And so we have to ask ourselves during time when we have the Lord's Supper, you know, am I wanting to be free from my sin today? Am I allowing him to deliver me from my current sins in my life? Am I depending on him day by day, sustaining me? Those kind of things. So it's important to take the Lord's Supper seriously and take adequate time to reflect. Charles Spurgeon would have communion service, I believe, every Sunday, but once a month he would have it on Sunday nights. It was a special communion service. The whole service dedicated to the Lord's Supper. Because he said, not only is baptism, not only is some of the other means of grace, but the Lord's Supper is a means to really grow spiritually in our lives. So interesting. He took it seriously. But the Lord's Supper is a means of spiritual growth. We really take it seriously. So he would have the whole Sunday night service for that purpose. I remember once as a pastor, I did that kind of thing, have the whole service dedicated just to the Lord's Supper. And that was a way to really enter into that whole thing like that. Anyway, this is an application to how do we remember what Christ has done for us in that regard. Now, let me throw to a caution. This is the third point, the caution about remembering. And the caution comes not from Psalm 105, but from 106. Now, Psalm 105 then is all about God's great acts of deliverance, which we are called on to remember for our own spiritual benefit. And you would think that the Israelites would remember, would never forget about God's deliverance from Egypt and bringing them into the promised land. You would think they would never forget, right? Wrong. So Psalm 105 is all the things we're to remember. But when you come to Psalm 106, it's a list of things they forgot. Shocking. Shocking. They forgot these things. And that's what Psalm 106 is all about. They repeatedly forgot what God had done in the past. Now, this forgetting is not mental dementia. This is not some dementia taking place in their minds that they're starting to forget things. This is willful forgetting. This is saying, I am choosing to ignore certain things. I don't want to listen. It's a bit like
When I was a young boy, or young boys, or girls, when they go outside to play, their mom says, remember, be in the house. In 30 minutes, it's going to be supper time. And where do those kids go? Oh, I forgot, Mom. No, they didn't forget. They chose deliberately to stay outside because they were having lots of fun. They said, we didn't forget. We chose to be outside because that's more fun. Right? This is the way it was with these people. They didn't forget in their heads. They chose to ignore what God had done in the past. This was spiritual dementia, not mental dementia, spiritual dementia, totally forgetting what God had done, intentionally ignoring what God had done. And we see some examples of this in Psalm 106, in verse 7. Even when the people were in Egypt and crossing the Red Sea, what do we see in verse 7 of Psalm 106? They did not remember God's many acts of kindness. In other words, they ignored what God had done in the past, and they chose to rebel against God. I don't understand that verse. How could they forget? But they did not forget intentionally, or they did not forget mentally. They forgot intentionally. They put it to the side at some point. They ignored what God had done, and they chose to rebel against God. Verse 13, it tells us that the Israelites had forgotten or deliberately ignored all that God had done for them in the past. Verse 13. Now they did not want to wait on God, but they chose to do what they wanted. And as a result, they suffered physically and spiritually. Verse 19, we're told that the Israelites forgot again all the miracles and all the awesome deeds that God had done for them. They deliberately ignored the past. And what did they do? They built an idol of a golden calf. They exchanged God's glory for the so-called glory of an idol in verse 20. And as a result of their idolatry, they eventually became like their pagan neighbors. As God's people, they were no different than those who had nothing to do with God. See the results of forgetting? They forgot. They deliberately ignored God's commands, what God had done in the past. They totally ignored it. They pushed it to the side. You know, sometimes we wonder how Christians can backslide or fall away from their walk with Christ. But choosing not to remember or ignoring what God has done for them contributes to their spiritual dementia. Spiritual dementia is serious. There's people who walk away from their faith. They backslide. Because why? They deliberately ignore those things they know to be true. They deliberately ignore what God has done in their life in the past. And this is the story of the believers in Galatia. Those people had come to know Christ, but they chose to ignore all that Christ had done for them. And Paul is shocked. He says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" They totally ignored everything Christ had done for them, and they went following other people. And Paul says, how could you do this? Who's bewitched you? Who has fooled you? How could you do this? They deliberately ignored those things of the past. And as a result, they began falling back into rules and regulations, which caused Paul to grieve for their own spiritual condition. So where are you and I at this morning in our own spiritual walk with Jesus? Are you and I deliberately choosing to ignore what Christ has done for us and choosing to go along with the crowd? Some of your friends that you know, are they walking faithfully with God? Are they choosing to go away from God and ignoring all that God's done for them? That's a dangerous road to be on. Dangerous road when you begin to ignore what you know to be true. And you go into a lifestyle that is sinful and disobedient with God. Don't do that. Don't do that. Come back and choose to remember, deliberately remember, and not ignore in that way like that. God is gracious and forgiving like that. And so in Psalm 106, we're told that God remembered his covenant. And it's interesting. While they forgot their part of the covenant with God, we read in Psalm 106 over and over, God remembered his covenant. God was faithful. And he is faithful to us. So,
At this time of the year, we celebrate Advent to prepare our hearts for the birth of Christ. How do we do this? Well, we remember the events of Jesus coming to this world. From the Old Testament prophets to the birth of Jesus himself. So how should this impact our lives? God is Emmanuel. God is Emmanuel. He is with us through the Holy Spirit. So we remember that God is Emmanuel. God is with us. Okay? So God is with us through the Holy Spirit. So am I living aware of his presence with us, that he is God Emmanuel? Wow, he's with us. That's something to remember. So as we go through Advent these weeks, remember God's Emmanuel. He is with us. Everywhere I go throughout the day, God is with us. Am I living aware of his presence in my life today in this coming week? God's great love for us. Wow, to think that God, that Jesus Christ left the glory of heaven and came to earth. What a great, great expression of his love for us. That he loved us to leave heaven and to come down in human flesh to be with us. This is his great love. Do you doubt his love for you? Boy, it's so easy as Christians sometimes we doubt God's love for us because we go through difficult times. But God says, don't doubt my love. I've left the glory of heaven to come down, to dwell among you because I love you so much. And also, as we think of Advent, we think of Jesus becoming human, experiencing what we experience. Jesus experiencing grief, Jesus experiencing temptations, Jesus experiencing tiredness. Jesus has experienced everything we've experienced in life. He's a God who sympathizes with us. And we need to remember all that he did, that Jesus coming to this world, what that does for our own spiritual life. So we just don't celebrate the Advent season before, as we come into the Christmas season. We remember the Advent. All the acts, his great acts of coming to earth, and what that does to nourish our hearts and nourish our lives and as we walk with him. So after Christmas, we need to continue to remember all that God has done for us for two primary reasons then, to challenge us. In Revelation 2:5, the Apostle John says, remember the height from which you have fallen. Remember the height from which you have fallen. They had forgotten how much they had loved Jesus and the ways they expressed their love. People forget. And that leads them to fall in their spiritual lives. Don't forget. Don't forget, the Apostle Paul saying, remember how you've fallen. I think of the story of the Apostle Peter when he denied Jesus Christ. Oh, I love you, right? But he denied that he knew Jesus Christ. He even cursed the people who said that he was a friend of Jesus. And then we are told that Peter remembered his words. He had fallen. This was a painful thing for Peter, and he wept bitterly. He was a broken person. But we are to remember not only to see, to be challenged, have I fallen from Christ? But also to be encouraged. So as God has been faithful in the past, he will be faithful in the present. God wants to encourage us. Think of all that God has done for you. Think of all that he's done for you. He loves us so very, very much. And as we go into this Christmas season, he's come to earth. He loves us so much. He wants to encourage us that way. So remember, this Christmas season, remember after Christmas, all that he's done, his acts of deliverance. He is with us, to sustain us, and all those things. So this means that we may have to change our memory bank. If you constantly think of the past, of all the horrible things, all the painful things, Scripture is saying, replace that. Replace that with all that God has done for you. My great acts of love, my faithfulness to you, the ways I've sustained you, the ways I've shown my love for you. Replace all those things in the past, the painful past you may have had. Replace it with my love for you. All the ways that he's indicated his faithfulness to us. Let's pray. Father, you know each person in this room and what we think of when we think of the past. And sometimes it may be full of delightful, joyful things, wonderful, warm memories. Other times we think of painful things, things that are tough, that create bitterness and pain in our lives. But Father, thank you that your word calls us back to remembering you, remembering your great acts of salvation, your ways of preserving us and sustaining us, your ways of showing how much you love us. Lord, at this Christmas season and in the days following after Christmas, may we, when we look back in our lives, we look back and say, thank you for that time I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Thank you for your years of faithfulness to me. Yes, there have been hard times and painful times, but Lord, I choose to remember those things that you have done in my life to give me courage, to give me hope, to give me expectation of what you will do in the future. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for calling us to remember. May this nourish our souls. May this strengthen our walk with you. Because you have been faithful, help us to be faithful to you as we reflect on our past. Because of your faithfulness to us, we pray in your name. Amen.